The messages of rebuke. Then she reported that she was given instruction regarding the conversation she had had with the brethren in reference to the southern work. And it was a message of rebuke to herself. She listened as her instructor repeated part of the conversation of the October 19th council meeting at Elmshaven, and then she was bidden. You cannot maintain any such position. You must not allow the words of ministers or presidents of conferences to have such an effect on you as to lead you to take your stand against the Southern Missionary Society. I shall give you messages to bear, and you must bear them. You are in a trying place. You will be severely tried. The Southern Missionary Society is not to be extinguished. It must exist to do a work that will be neglected unless it lives. You have sought to avoid taking a position, even if this position is entirely as it should be, that would lead others to say that you are influenced by your son, J. E. White. Her instructor in his admonition stated that mistakes had been made in the work in the South, but they were not of a nature that required such drastic treatment as was proposed. A few weeks later, as she discussed the question again in its larger outreaches, she told of how for 3 nights in succession after the October 19th interview, she received visions, and the Lord instructed her that she had spoken unadvisedly. She was informed that not all the matters had been correctly represented to her. Not all the particulars had been given. She should not consent to allow the taking of steps that were proposed, merely because Edson White was her son. She was informed that liberal gifts should be made in response to the calls for means to advance the great work that must be done in the southern field, a field where the greatest difficulties must be met and overcome. The whole experience was one in which Ellen White herself was reproved by God, and we will let her explain it, as she does in a letter to Elder Daniels, written December 7. When you were here, you laid before me the condition of things in the publishing house at Nashville. You spoke of the terrible financial embarrassment resting on the work there, and gave me the impression that the brethren did not think that anything could be done to set things in order, because Sister White would exert her influence to prevent them from doing what they thought necessary to put matters on a proper basis. Questions were asked me, and I answered them in the light of your representations. I said, if what you say is correct, I will not stand in the way of your doing what you think ought to be done. You said that if you could adjust matters as they would be adjusted if the difficulties existed in any other place, the work would be placed on a sound basis. Italics supplied. And then she significantly reported. The Lord reproved me for accepting any man's version of matters, even Elder Daniels, when he had already given me instruction. I never remember feeling more pain than I did after speaking as I did in the interview with you. I had nothing to say in favor of Nashville. The Lord reproved me for this, and pointed me to those who by his appointment were laboring in Nashville. Italics supplied. Then in a direct testimony of reproof she wrote, that there should be an attempt to counterwork the Lord's plans, and to hinder the good work being accomplished in Nashville, that Elder Daniels and others, notwithstanding the light that God has given, should join in this attempt, is an offense to God. He will not endorse their work, nor countenance their course of action. Just as Ellen White accepted the messages of reproof for her failure to come to the defense of the workers at Nashville at a time when their course seemed indefensible, so Elder Daniels accepted the message of reproof for the course of action that he proposed on what he felt was sound argument and careful reasoning. The printing establishment was not closed. Elder Daniels encouraged the workers in Nashville to meet the challenge. Year after year he went down to attend the constituency meetings of the publishing house and supported it. How he rejoiced when a turn came in the tide. Within a few years the institution began to gain ground. As he later told the story, he observed, God who knows the end from the beginning sent us messages to prevent us from narrowing the work in a time of discouragement. These messages sometimes seemed difficult to understand. They called for superhuman effort. In these later days, we can rejoice more than ever in the guiding hand of God manifested through His servant. I number this experience as one among many that have confirmed my confidence in the divine leadership of God's people through the prophetic gift. A.G.D. Op. Cit. P. 329.